Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Everything Extra Cast week of December 5th, 2011. I'm your host, Zach. And this week we have just Chris for right now.
Only me.
Yep. Joe might be coming on later. I don't know. But I think we got a pretty good show as usual. We got a bunch of news to talk about, a couple trailers. I got a bunch of stuff to talk about on show and tell. I don't know about you, Chris, but.
Not too much.
Why don't we get right into show and tell?
All right.
What have you been doing?
I've been catching up on The Walking Dead.
Okay. Are you completely caught up, or are you still behind by, like, one or two?
I am all caught up.
Okay.
And then I watched the webisodes.
Oh, the webisodes.
Yeah.
With the terrific acting of the webisodes.
Oh, so you've seen it then?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
I watched it before the season started.
Really?
So just like, the neighbor guy is the worst.
What do you mean?
He's such a horrible actor.
What? I loved him in Cliffhanger.
He was in Cliffhanger?
Yeah, he was the federal agent dude who betrays his whole cargo. And, like, that's that guy.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. He's also in, like, CSI Miami.
Well, oh, yeah. Well, I'm talking about, the young dude.
Oh, the father.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Because I'm like, the actual, like, actor?
Yeah, not the crazy neighbor in the basement, but the other guy.
He's not really a neighbor, you know, it was just like, you know, I was the ex-husband.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was a little confused, because they don't really explain anything, and you're just like, here for the dialogue.
It's like, oh, just people.
Yeah. I mean, there was a little bit of confusion to see, like, oh, she has kids, and...
Kids or?
Yeah, and then it's like, oh, there's this house that she just wandered in, and it's like, oh, they happen to, like, know each other.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, I guess they were filming all these different scenes, and they just kind of flew them together. Like, oh, okay, now you're the husband character.
Mm-hmm.
And you're the stepmom, and you're going to be a neighbor. Yeah, I don't know, it just seemed really... Really, you know, it's just like the extras having a few hours to kill.
Yeah, before they got turned into zombies.
Yeah. And it was kind of weird. I actually thought there would be more depth to this character, you know, to, I forgot her name.
It's not memorable.
Bike girl, yeah. She has a real name, but I totally forgot it. They don't even say it, like, twice.
Yeah.
Out of the whole thing. Because other than that, she's just mom.
Mm-hmm.
So... I thought there'd be this, like, dramatic thing about her death and her zombification, but it was just, like, someone bit her arm, and she's like, well, I'm fucked.
Well, she did, like, sacrifice herself so the kids could run away.
I guess.
And it's, like, the time just, like, fucking swarmed on her.
Yeah, but she didn't even, like, try to, delay. She kind of just stood there. She's like, bye!
I'll buy you 5 minutes, maybe.
Maybe, we don't know. For all I know, the zombie's like, I'm just like, you know, didn't want any of that.
Too lean.
Do you remember when the first two episodes where, like, she was stumbling about and there was just zombies sitting on the side of the road just eating people?
Yeah.
Just calmly.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, she was screaming and crying and, like, they were just like, rah.
Can you see we're eating? Shut up.
Yeah, they didn't care. So, and then, like, the psycho dad, then you felt like a really crazy father, the stepfather.
Yeah.
You see that? Where you think, oh, you know, this guy doesn't seem to do this stuff. And, you know, they didn't really go anywhere. Even his death was kind of weird, too. Or supposed death.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there's a few rules we learned. Your dog can get sort of injured / infected.
Was it? There was a zombie dog? I can't remember that.
Well, no, they didn't even show the dog.
It was like it was in the backyard. Yeah.
Yeah, he was looking for a gun to shoot it. So it's implied that a dog could get like ill from a zombie attack or something.
Yep, like I Am Legend style.
Yeah, kind of like that. But well, except like
style where like everything turns into a zombie.
The what?
Like Resident Evil, where like everything turns into a zombie.
Like,
zombie.
Yeah, like there's no
zombie sharks.
Zombie sharks, zombie elephant, and the zombie the Resident Evil Outbreak saga.
Yep.
Really weird stuff about Resident Evil that, you know, it's like, oh, I get it. But then it's like, huh? Like, remember zombie plants?
Yep.
See, like, insane shit like that. I like how the season ends on a weird note.
Well, mid-season.
Mid-season. You know, you find out the secret behind the barn.
Yep.
And then you find out the secret.
We knew the secret, like, two episodes before, and then you get, like, the final twist.
So like, I read the comic, though, so everything for me is sort of spoiled, but not really. I just like how to see how certain characters now escalate.
Isn't it, like, more dramatic in the comic where, like, they, like, burst out of the barn and start, like, destroying people?
Oh, it gets, like, insanely weird because there's, like, this other character that shows up called, the General or something. The Colonel, that's it. And he's just straight out of the comic in the sense that the behavior and his attitude. And plus, over it's like, you're in the South, so calling yourself the Colonel in the South is just, like, automatically, like, set one to be crazy and villainous.
Wait,
so
are you talking about... Is he a different character from the Governor?
Oh, okay, the Governor, then.
Because the Governor shows up, like, after they get to the prison, right?
Right, but he shows up at that barn, too.
Does he?
Yeah. No, wait.
I thought it was after, because, like, the barn breaks open and, like, everyone gets killed, basically, except, like, Maggie. And then they go off and, like, head to the prison.
No, he shows up at the barn. I think. I'm confusing two scenes that basically play out the same way of, like, someone opening a door, basically, and they're just like, fuck! Letting in the horde. That happens a couple times, but then again, it's a zombie series. Like, that's expected to happen always.
Yeah, I don't think the Governor shows up till later, because, like, he's, like, because they, like, go scout off in the prison, like, they find, like, the other town that he, like, he's running.
I thought he did. I don't know. It's been a while since I read it. I kind of sat there and read one on the giant collection.
Yeah.
So all I know is I can't wait for that prison saga.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully they'll get to that. If not, like, hopefully they mimic something like it.
Hopefully, like, maybe, like, the end, like, toward the end of the season, like, then, like, all season three maybe or something, or, like, most of season three. So probably have like one or two, maybe three, like, episodes of them, like, back on the road for, like, the middle of the season.
Oh, yeah. So there's nothing more I love about Walking Dead is aimless driving.
Yep.
Highway scenes of dialogue and.
Or maybe they'll get to, like, because they keep saying they want to get to that, like, Fort Benning or whatever, the army base.
Well, the Fort Benning could be just like the prison.
It could be, yeah.
Saga of The Walking Dead, which is good because that's where, like, you know,
crazy shit happens.
Crazy shit's gonna happen. Plus, you could see, like, Shane just losing it.
Well, yeah, it's great. He's already insane, basically.
I mean, he's got the whole baby thing and his whole, like, I want to be in charge. And, oh, just the fact that Dale's, like, pissing him off.
Oh, my God. Dale's so stupid.
I didn't understand what he wanted to do with the guns.
I don't, yeah. I'm gonna hide them so no one can use them.
It's like, guns are pretty much versatile in your zombie realm. Like, I don't get that he's hiding it in, like, the swamp.
Yeah.
And, like, before even that's even explained, it's like, just taken away.
And he's, like, he's instantly, like, super suspicious of everything Shane does now. He's like, I know you killed Otis, even though we have no evidence that you didn't or did.
And I know, and then it's just like, oh, you got it on, Andrea.
Yep. Right. It's basically his only beef.
I mean, it's weird, because he just, like, became unofficial, like, daddy figure.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, it was just kind of this weird, where's this coming from? They don't even they don't do a flashback of them meeting, do they?
No, they're just, like, all together.
Eh.
Then they might have, like, all met, like, the, when, on, like, the, like, the freeway or whatever, when, like, because there's that one part, that one episode where, like, the season where, like, they went, flashback to, like, Atlanta getting bombed.
Oh, yeah, and yeah, sort, that's
like,
when he...
It was, like, Shane and Lori and Carl were together, and they sort of met, like, the redneck family.
Oh, the abusive...
Yeah.
Family. Yeah, that was a nice little description kind of to show you why they're together. But I felt like it was unnecessary because it's like, oh, Shane's hugging her. And then, you know, somehow between that and like where they are now, it's like they got sexy time on.
Yeah. Well, this is like the second episode of season one.
Yeah, like, I do like how you can tell where they are in time through Shane's haircut.
Yep.
The shorter his hair, the crazier he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if he takes a razor blade out, watch out. So, anything else besides Walking Dead, Chris?
I watched Horrible Bosses.
I watched that too.
What'd you think of it?
I thought it was good. Actually, I realized I saw like all but like 10 minutes of it by like just walking into it at work, but like out of order.
That must be a really confusing movie then.
Well, you always see like the same like 5 minute chunks every time you like walk into the theater.
Right. But I'm saying like this. I mean, the story's pretty linear. There's no.
Yeah.
Like. But if you see 5 minutes at random intervals, it must get choppy as hell.
Well, you can you piece it together from, like, if you see a different 5 minute piece, you're like, oh, okay. That explains that.
That's true. Because, like, I didn't expect that whole part where Kevin Spacey just goes insane.
Oh, yeah.
That came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow, this changed the whole tone of the movie. I get it. It's a comedy about trying to kill your boss, but then when something like that actually happens, it's like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it'd be a movie where they'll try to do something bad, right? But then halfway through, they might realize, oh, this is actually pretty bad. We shouldn't do this.
Yeah.
You know, and they'll just learn from it, and they'll become better people. But then Kevin Spacey ruins that formula. He doesn't really ruin it. He improves it, I think.
Yeah.
So I'm glad this kind of movie like exists for this like kind of reason where it's like, oh, you thought it'll be this traditional formula. Nope.
I thought it was like, yeah, it's definitely one of the better comedies this year. I'm trying to like catch up because like I kind of slacked off on comedies this year. So I'm trying to like catch up on all the different ones. Because like end of the year stuff's coming up pretty soon. So gotta start making those lists and the kick-ass awards.
Comedy movies usually thrive well in the wintertime, so if you didn't see any in the winter, like, those are the best times. And then pre-summer is just, like, the either the best of the best or, like, the most embarrassing ones.
Yeah.
So I remember, during the winter, I saw Hall Pass with Brian, and it was decent. We missed, like, 5 minutes of it because the movie started earlier than expected. Which just never happened. That really never happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm usually expecting a movie to start like later.
Yeah.
Or like on time, but never like, oh, it started 5 minutes ago. It's like, you son of a bitch.
We changed the time like without telling anyone.
But like, as soon as we got tickets, they're like, oh, we started the movie already. It's like, what? And it wasn't even like a Sunday or like a dead Wednesday. It was just like, you know, it was like a regular Thursday night.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, started it's early.
Like, did they just, like, start it with, like, no previews? Or, like, they started it, like, 5 minutes before they said they were...
Like, we got there at the movie theater right when they were, like, we figure 15 minutes for previews or less, right?
Oh, okay, so you got there, like, oh, you said this was starting?
Yeah, it was starting. So they started the previews, like, earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it wasn't even, I understand why, because it wasn't like a packed crowd, but still, it's like, you don't, what? I've never heard of that.
Ours is automatic, so that can't happen.
Yeah, but this is like Vermont, so they...
There's a dude upstairs just like fucking with people.
Pretty much. My experiences in movie theaters probably aren't... Like, they're pretty pleasant. This is one of those ones where I was like, this is different.
Mm.
Okay. yeah, like, you know, like, I saw Hangover 2 during the summer with Joe, and that was pretty good tone for the whole holiday feel. I mean, for the whole, like, summer, because it was like, oh, you know.
Yeah, it's definitely R-rated comedy summer.
Right.
There's, like, five of them.
It's good, because it's like, you keep watching a lot of comedies, you start, like, laughing at stupid things, and you start really getting to the idea that everything's not really funny in life anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, there's an occasional romantic comedy sprung here and there.
This took a dark turn into your personal life, Chris.
I know, man. I still haven't seen the Friends of Benefits and Friends of Benefits clone.
Oh, God.
Is Friends of Benefits R?
Yeah.
Okay, at least that's...
I think they're both R.
How? Like, why is it R? Is it a language? Like,
probably, I think so.
It's like Friends of Benefits and war. Like, oh, cool. It's like...
you know what Friends of Benefits extreme is? Extreme violence.
Right. You know what more I think about? You know what Friends of Benefits really is? What a better version of it would have been?
What?
Pearl Harbor.
Oh, dear God.
Think about it.
I don't
Kate
really...
Kate Beckinsale.
Yeah.
Kate Beckinsale. Joss Hartnett and Ben Affleck. They both had her.
Yeah.
That's Friends of Benefits.
Where's the Friends of Benefits come in?
Well, doesn't Ben Affleck have to raise Joss Hartnett's kid?
I get... That's not really a benefit, is it?
Well, maybe Kate Beckinsale's character, because she got, what, she loved two men, and she got a family. Either way, she won.
Yeah. That's more like Friends with Baggage.
Benefits, baggage, whatever.
Yeah. So, hey, back to the premises.
Yeah. Great premise, you know, trying to kill your boss.
I love the trio.
Yeah, basically, they work well.
Charlie Day.
Again, really great that Charlie Day can really flex his acting muscles outside of It's Always Sunny.
Mm-hmm.
And he can play more than just an idiot character.
He was kind of idiot in Portal Bosses, too, but...
I mean, he's a kind-hearted idiot this time. Yeah. Actually, no, every movie he's been in, he's always been the kind-hearted idiot. But, you know, at least he's not Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
But I think of him as Charlie, and I'm like, why is he outside of a bar? Why is he in a dentist's office? But I do like that his reason for not just quitting his job is that he has a
sex offender list.
He's a sex offender list, yeah, because he was peeing at a
playground at night,
right? Which is crazy because that's kind of funny, and it's funny because it doesn't happen to normal people. And
yeah.
It's only not funny when it actually happened to someone you know or you. You know, there's. It's one of those situational things that is really, really bad.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer Aniston's character is pretty funny. Which,
yeah.
Just overly, like, aggressive female boss. Like, I understand why she was really obsessive about Charlie's character.
I don't know.
She just, like, she found him really attractive. Like,
I guess.
It doesn't even explain it. Just like, oh, I just want you. Okay.
I love how, like, the other guys just give him shit about it, too, because, like, yours doesn't seem that bad.
Yeah. But because he cherishes marriage.
Yeah.
It's, like, his worst fear
mm-hmm.
that this woman's going to ruin it. Which is funny, you know, it's not just about money and stuff, and it's about, like, love. But then the whole killing her about that was a little extreme. Like, that was... But, like, they didn't. That's funny.
Yeah, they don't even wrap that up, either. It's just, like...
Well, no, they did with...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They sort of have, like, a little epilogue about that.
Mm-hmm.
Where Motherfucker Jones helps.
Yep.
But I just love that one scene where he explains why he called himself Motherfucker Jones.
Yep.
So for those who don't know, the trio, they go seek help in a bad neighborhood to go commit three different murders. But they meet a guy named Motherfucker Jones who, instead of actually doing the job, just gives them advice. Yep. And they ask him. Yeah, I'm a consultant. Because they ask him, like, why do you call yourself Motherfucker Jones? And he goes, well, my mother, it was something like,
he sneaked into his mom's room and she was, like, drunk, naked on the bed.
Right, naked on the bed.
Puts his hand into a purse, stole all our money.
But the way he goes, oh, I took my hand, and they go, like, whoa, into her purse. I'm like, oh.
What?
And it really pissed her off, and she called me a motherfucker.
I fucked her over so bad. Maybe you should call yourself Motherfucker Over Joe, just to avoid confusion.
Why? I really like that. Great. It was a really great scene for that. It's really awkward, too, because I think my mom was in the room. So.
Also, did you know the guy that directed King of Kong directed that movie?
Really?
Yep.
That's like a totally different tone to each thing.
Yeah.
There's no like, oh, I know a director based on how it's like flown. This is just like, oh. There's no sad scene where like there's a family eating or, you know, a shot of what's his face playing Donkey Kong.
Steve, he had a cameo, Steve Wiebe.
Really?
Yeah, I think he's one of the security guards or something.
Okay, well, he can't really act, but he can play some mean-ass Donkey Kong.
Yep. There should have been a scene where they go to the arcade or something.
Yeah. That would have been funny then, but...
And Billy Mitchell shows up.
Right. Tries to promote himself inside this movie.
Holding, like, two jugs of hot sauce.
Combing his hair.
Yep.
Dude, that dude has a fine-ass mane.
And he won Pac-Man. So, anything else, Chris?
Not really. I've been watching The Office. Mm-hmm. I actually watched one recently that was pretty, like, a season 5-ish episode. You know, the current season has Pam pregnant.
Yeah.
So they try to, you know, it's weird when you watch a show for this long and now the jokes are like repeating.
Yep.
You know, and they have to like keep things sort of fresh, but you know, Pam's pregnant again, and they're always worried about Jim and Pam. And it's not like in this episode I watched, it was like a few weeks old. It's Pam testing Jim's like trust with her as she's 9 months pregnant.
Is that the one with the, like the temp?
Yep.
Yeah, I saw that one. That one was
terrible. Really funny. it was funny just to see how Dwight was trying to help, because Dwight helping is always funny.
Yeah.
At least to me. And like, yeah, it kind of works, but you want to test how Jim's arousal by touching his penis? It was really weird, but I was like, oh, okay, at least that's kind of like physical comedy in the show. And
you could get like sued for that probably, but
yeah, that's how you don't have to work anymore. Mm-hmm. Because you just say I got sexually harassed in my workplace. But
hostile work environment.
That's how you get Dwight fired, and the show goes downhill.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess he could go back to Staples and work with Shirley from the Community.
She was there.
Yeah, she was one of his Staples co-workers.
Yes, she was. Yes, she was. Wow, I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm.
She had, like, two lines of dialogue.
Yep.
And she was basically playing the same character, too.
Basically, yeah.
It's kind of funny where they kind of tease you where Jim's kind of, he talks about having feelings for someone else, and then it turns out to be Dwight.
Yeah.
I thought that was a nice little, aw, but then it's like, man, can you imagine you watch a show for 7 seasons? This is like romance to like blossom. And now it's like blossom, and now it's like, you know, okay. Nothing really new between this romance.
Yep.
And then he's just like, oh yeah, I kind of like want to cheat on her now. It's like, whoa. I never really seen a show like that where, you know, it's not the main focus. You know, the office is not the main focus between Pam and Jim.
That'd put the show in a dark place. That'd be like a dark turn.
I mean, the equivalent of that is like season 4 of Dexter.
Jesus
Christ. I don't know. What other shows like that do you think?
Like, where it's funny, there's dark? I don't know.
No, where, like, you watch this romance, like, get there, and then it's like, oh, and then something happens where it just turns, like, 180.
I don't know, I can't really think of anything off the top of my head, but...
Alright, I mean, you gotta go back. Certain shows don't do that. We all cheered on Mad Men when that shit happens, though. You know, when Dom's just like, god damn it.
Well, you wanted that to end.
Right, you wanted that. I mean, that's kind of different. But when it does happen, you're kind of like surprised, but then you're not really.
Yeah. Best part is when he's like, that one part was like, he's super drunk, and he's just like yelling at Betty. Like, you whore, you're not getting any money.
I mean... There's that season 3 where it's a season, either end of season 2 or the beginning of season 3 where she's pregnant and wants him, no, she's before she's pregnant, where she wants him to visit her, like, he wants her, Betty wants Dom to go with her to her, like, childhood house.
Oh, yeah.
And she makes him sleep on the floor.
Yep.
And after they have sex, she's like, yeah, I still want you not around.
Yeah. And I was like, what?
And he's like, no, what? You gotta be kidding me.
Mixed signals going on here.
I know.
Ice cold bitch.
At that point, I was like, you know, I don't... When I first watched it, I was like, you know, I don't mind not seeing Betty anymore. She's kind of like this character I love to hate now. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, for those who don't know, it's like, as you keep watching, you learn to forget about her.
Mm-hmm.
No more goddamn horse rides.
Oh my god, that was just like, that was the worst. I can't deal with my kids, I have to go ride horses.
Oh god. Or the time
Or
the time she tried to seduce that like mechanic dude for a timing belt.
Oh my god, yeah. And he was, like not having any of it.
Like, he understood, and he was like, you're terrible at this.
Well, I guess, I mean, your husband could pay, I guess, or something. You could send me a check, I don't know.
Do you have a debit card? Well, this is about days before debit
cards. I think food stamps. Anyway, so, anything that's about it, Chris?
That's about it. Let's see. Now, yeah, I've seen, like, what, one, I've seen two TV shows, one movie,
yep.
And Tangents.
Yep.
So, that includes me.
Well, we got some movies coming up in theaters pretty soon, so maybe you'll see some of those. As far as what I've been watching, just quick, I started a new Total Recall for the site, and cool. I'm rewatching The Lone Gunman.
I'd never have seen that.
You never saw that show?
Nope.
It was on for one season in 2001, and then it got canceled. It ended with like a cliffhanger last episode. So they had to do an episode on the X-Files to wrap up these Lone Gunmen.
Wait, what?
So, Lone Gunman, it was on for 13 episodes. The 13th episode ended on a cliffhanger. Then it got canceled, but then Chris Carter's like, I still want to finish the story, so we'll just do an episode of the X-Files where we wrap up the Lone Gunman story.
So
there it was like season 6 or 7. It was like Robert Patrick and like David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson were gone at that point. It was like Robert Patrick and the other girl, the new girl. I don't even know who it was, but. But yeah, it was basically just like, it turned X-Files into like a Lone Gunman episode for like one season. in like the seventh season of X-Files or sixth season of X-Files.
You know, that's almost, I understand where that comes from, because, you know, like Cougar Town is the epilogue to Scrubs.
Yeah.
I mean, when I found that out, it blew my mind.
And like that and Community are like BFFs.
But I thought Community is a universe outside of Cougar Town because they can watch Cougar Town, right?
Well, yeah, but like they both those shows like just like reference each other all the time, and like it's like Abed was like in the background of Cougar Town, that one scene. I don't know if you saw that.
I saw the episode.
He told a story about going on the set of Cougar Town, and then like. I guess, like, a week or two later at Cougar Town, they actually had, like, him in the background, like, and he ran off the... He did, like, his old, like, running off the stage thing.
No, but, like, okay, I get how that's kind of referencing as in a, as a production, but not as the actual, like, universe.
No, it's not the same universe right there. It's just, like...
But no, Scrubs, yep. Scrubs to Cougar Town is.
Is it?
It is. Because Ted from Scrubs shows up in Cougar Town.
It's kind of weird.
I know. And it's really sad, because, he talks about his love life, and you find out that that his girlfriend ran off with Hooch.
Hooch?
Yeah, there was a black doctor named Hooch in Scrubs.
Okay.
And JD from Scrubs always go, Hooch is crazy.
Oh, and yeah.
Yeah, well, Hooch stole Ted's girlfriend, and it's like he like sings about it because he's like out of a job, and his band breaks up with him. It's really sad. I'm like, what? So now I have to watch Cougar Town to see if there's any more Ted pops up or any other
Scrubs characters. Things.
Yeah, I know. The things I would do for Scrubs.
So, Lone Gunman.
Yep.
it's a pretty awesome show, even though it got canceled. Like if you like everyone pretty much loved Lone Gunman. They came with the fan favorite characters on X-Files.
So like what's the premise?
It's basically X-Files, but like, because they have like a case of the week they usually are trying to like figure out, but it's like more crazy like weekly world news sort of stuff. Where like they go and find, like they get a tip. There's like a guy who owns like the car that runs like water at one show. They find a monkey that ran away from like this testing center that was trying to make monkeys super smart. So they find like this super smart monkey they have to like take care of for like an episode. There's like an episode where like this guy thinks he got abducted by aliens, but it's actually like this like weird like virtual reality neighbor, like he's in like this like virtual reality neighborhood thing, like simulator.
Hmm.
So it's a lot like weird. It's like a lot of like wacky, fun. It's like more wacky fun X-Files sort of mysteries. But actually, the weird thing about it is like the first episode, the pilot, is like so fucking dark and like actually. It's actually really kind of like creepy watching it in like retrospect because it actually predicted 9/11 basically.
Jeez.
Because it actually aired in like March of 2001, so that was like 6 months before or whatever. And the whole premise of the first episode is that wait, you know who the Lone Gunmen are, right? Froehlich, Langley, Byers.
No.
Okay, you don't know anything. One of the gunmen, like his father is killed, or supposedly gets killed because he like uncovered this government scenario. It was like a war game simulation thing about like domestic terrorism, like in air domestic terrorism. And then they find out like it's not like war. They like the government actually wants to like do it to like create like a fake war and like start building up arms sales and stuff.
Okay.
So it's like a big government conspiracy, like fake, get a war started, because like they figure all the terrorists are gonna like take credit for it, so they can like just like hey, we gotta go kill these guys. So, so they find out like this plane's been like remote controlled, it's like flying to the World Trade Center.
Jesus.
So, but they manage to stop it in time. But yeah, it's like really crazy watching it, with the knowledge that we have now.
With our actual, like,
yes, experience. Actual events.
Well, you know.
Actually, like, on the commentary, like, Chris Carter, who, like, created X-Files, was like, yeah, we thought we were creating, like, the most crazy, unrealistic scenario we could possibly imagine.
kind of funny and weird and sad.
Yeah. But then, like, the rest of this, like, the rest of the show is, like, really, it turns, like, it's, like, funny and wacky.
Maybe the show's just ahead of its time. Like, now that show, it seemed like it would work.
Maybe, right? I don't know.
Well, because we're, you know, there's not too many shows now that are done with, like, aliens and conspiracies that isn't, like, a Doctor Who show anymore.
It's like Fringe is the closest thing.
Yeah, that's actually, but it's like, it's our generation's X-Files almost.
Yeah.
But there's no, like, I'm trying to think of, like, a show that's resembles, like, oh, there's aliens, so we're just cool with it.
Well, there's not aliens or anything on Lone Gunman.
So how come they, like, crossed over to X-Files, though?
Well, it spun off X-Files, and then they came back. Because Lone Gunman were characters on X-Files.
Ah.
They were, Mulder was, like, a big fan of their newsletter that they wrote, like, their conspiracy theory newsletter. Mm-hmm. He would usually go to them every once in a while and, like, ask them, because they were expert, like, whenever they had, like, a thing. A
theory
like,
about something.
Like, governments, like, they were dealing with a case about, like, government conspiracies or something, or, like, computers or, like, something like that, because, like, when Lone Gunman's, like, an expert hacker and stuff, so, like, they usually, like, Mulder would, like, go and ask them, like, what they thought about it or, like, if they knew anything about it.
Okay, that kind of makes sense.
So they were, like, I think Lone Gunman started probably, like, 4 or 5 seasons into the X-Files. They spun it off.
Okay.
But yeah, they would show up at least, like, 4 or 5 times in a season.
I thought maybe that just, that's an example of, like, spinning off when it's too soon, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was, like, the big, like, Simpsons and X-Files were, like, basically the two biggest things for Fox at that time. So, yeah.
Well, at least they didn't spin off from Simpsons too soon. I mean, they waited a few years for Futurama spinoff.
Futurama's not really a spinoff.
Well, but you understand how, like, it's the spiritual, like,
yeah.
Like, well, let's see what else we can do.
Lone Gunman's actually, like, literally a spinoff. I think Mulder actually showed up like one or two, like once or twice. Like, definitely X Files character showed up in Lone Gunman. Like, FBI Director Skinner showed up in one episode and stuff.
Dude, I have not seen X Files in like.
He's like a long time. Like the bald guy who's like just constantly yelling at Mulder. Anyway, so you can I think hopefully every Saturday you'll be able to read about a new episode for the next 13 weeks on the site. So if you check that out. And so speaking of, we were talking about earlier about catching up on comedies. I watched 30 Minutes or Less.
Oh, how was it?
It was okay. It wasn't that great. It was definitely a huge step down from Zombieland, which was the director's last movie that he did.
So it was like repertoire is Zombieland and this.
Yeah. I mean, there was a couple funny parts, like Dan McBride and Aziz Ansari are hilarious in it. But, I mean, I think they sort of forgot to, like, write actual jokes, and they figured that, like, we'll say fuck a bunch of times, and that'll be funny, instead of actual jokes. And, like, they were sort of, like, billing it as, like, an action comedy, but there's not really enough action to make it an action comedy. It's, like, one car chase, that's about it.
I imagine, like, it tried to be that kind of weird Pineapple Express comedy that's, like...
Pineapple Express was, like, way more action than...
Right. It's unexpected action. In this movie, it's, like, they try to show action, and, like, I knew most of the trailer was all tricks. Like, they were taking scenes that...
Yeah.
Like, show just the highlights of a non-funny situation, and then they threw it together. Because I was, like, this... Like, I really thought about seeing it, but I was, like, there's something about it that... doesn't look like it's going to be, like a great time. Like, it might be a few, like, a great rental or a great Netflix. But not like, oh, man, I want to talk about this.
Yeah, it was an okay rental, I guess. Like, the bank heist is actually pretty funny when they go in. They actually spend, like, the first... They, like, stand outside for, like, 5 minutes trying to, like, figure out, like, what their backstory is going to be for because they make up characters. So they don't reveal, like, their real names. So they come up with, like... kind of be like they're like so like we're Cruz and I can't remember their name but they're like we're like Latino gangsters who just got released from jail. And then Dan McBride has a bunch of funny stuff where, like, he kidnaps Jesse Eisenberg to, like, get so he can, like, rob $100,000. So he can pay off a hitman to, like, kill his dad so he can get his dad's, like, $1 million because he won in the lottery. Like, a scratch-off lottery. So then, because then he wants to, like, open, like, a tanning salon / whorehouse where people come in, like, he has, like, all these, like insane, like, code names for, like, whatever, like, instead, like, for, if you say, like, a Tanny Glover, you want, like, a black chick in the back and stuff.
It's like a weird order menu.
Yeah, he has, like, all these, like, code names and stuff.
You know, like, I didn't even know that from the trailer, you know, all I thought was Jesse Eisenberg just, like, being kidnapped and forced to rob a bank with a bomb on his chest.
Yeah.
That's it. I have no, like, the premise seems funny because I just want to see that kid suffer.
Do you know it's actually, like, based on, like, a, well, they say it's not based on the event, but there's actually, like, a similar thing that happened in real life where the guy got kidnapped and, like, died because it exploded.
Right, because the vest they tried to defuse or something, like, it failed.
And people, everyone who made this movie was like, we didn't know about that when we made it.
Right, it seemed one of those, like, the Lone Gunman thing where it's like, it seemed too ridiculous to be true.
Yeah.
But they just didn't do research about it. Like, honestly, if I wrote a ridiculous comedy premise, I would probably pick something like that too. And then, hopefully nothing like that ever happened.
Well, I don't know, did it happen after they started?
Yeah, no, it happened like a year or two before. I think they already drafted like a script. Like they wrote just the outline of like, it'd be funny like that. That's how they started it.
Yep.
And then as soon as that,
what about Pizza Delivery Guy got like kidnapped by these dudes in monkey masks? Yeah, they had a flamethrower.
Well, they didn't, you know, that was just the gritty, funny details they put in. But the premise is, you know, they strapped a bomb to some dude's chest.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like if someone theorized about, like, rigging a bus with a bomb, and this is before Speed, you know, like, the only thing that...
There's a guy, like, putting people in traps or something.
Well, that kind of happens, sort of.
Yeah, Saw is based on reality.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, that's, like, the one kind of few movies I can say, like, okay, that's kind of ridiculous if you get fall into those kind of traps.
Especially if it's, like deep levels of, like, 6 or 7 Saw. Like,
that guy's dedicated.
We're in this department store, and there's, like, a Saw between us.
I mean, the only time I could see, like, a Saw movie-type scenario is, like, you fell in some sort of, like, weird, amusement park. You know, that's the only time I could see, like, you're trapped, and now you gotta do some street measures.
If the Joker kidnaps you.
Again, like, yeah, the Joker had plenty of fucking time, and he was a maniac and unpredictable and, like, very uncontrollable. Again, that's something that you just, in real life, you just never want to meet.
Mm-hmm.
That's fantasy.
Yeah.
It's fantasy weirdness. The 30 Minutes or Less, I imagine, is kind of like, it's on the border of fantasy and then on the border of realism.
Mm-hmm.
But you just don't want that fantasy to take over, and you don't want realism to take over either. You know, like, you don't want it to be like The Town.
Yeah.
See, I think the whole movie would be kind of different if it turned out to be, like, some dark. If it turned out to be, like, a really dark movie near the middle, and you thought it would be this comedy, and it turns out it's not, really.
Yeah. But, it's probably, like, toward the middle of, like, this year's comedies. Horrible Boss is definitely way better than it. Hangover 2 definitely way better than it.
Well, Hangover 2 is a formal comedy.
Basically the first one over again.
Right, it the same formula. It repeats itself.
Yeah,
and they're they're still funny because it's like you kind of know what to expect, and you just want to see the one things that just pop out, the small details are just like, oh look, that chick has a penis, or there's this weirdly unprovoked attack.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, if this, I'm pretty sure I can just repeat what happens. So Jesse Eisenberg gets the bomb to his chest.
Yep.
He gets threatened. He robs a bank. It goes decent. Some cop or friend tries to figure out the situation. He probably gives the money to the Danny McBride and Nick. What's his face? Nick Forbes. Yeah. And probably Nick Swanson just one of those characters says or does something that upsets the whole situation, and then the police show up. The end.
Sort of, not really.
Well, at least there's actually
like a third party that gets involved, of like the person that they think is like Dan McBride thinks is a hitman, is actually just like this like con artist guy who like wants the money.
Oh.
And like his stripper girlfriend, like is the one who like convinces Dan McBride to do this whole thing in the first place.
Turns out she double crosses everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of like Bad Santa. See, Bad Santa was a funny movie because I could not see where it might go because it's such a depressing beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah. I think all I gotta watch is like Bridesmaids, basically. Just like, so I basically have like all the big comedies of the year.
I gotta do that too. It's the same formula too of like The Hangover. So get a bunch of people together, put in awkward situations.
Yep.
Maybe you learn something about yourself. But see, the thing is, The Bridesmaid, that takes over a couple of days in the movie. You know, it's a time goes by.
It's like a week or something, probably.
Right. So, but Hangover is like one giant trip because it has to be really fast and has pace.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only time I could say that's a little different.
Mm-hmm. And then last thing I watched last week was I actually got to see The Muppets.
Nice.
And it was amazing.
Did you become a communist?
That was such a stupid thing.
That's like... how is that like news? How are people trying to like analyze this movie? Analyze the message.
They're anti-oil. Just because like Chris Cooper is like an evil oil baron.
How can you be a baron in America? Like,
I don't know.
Does that title still apply? Like,
I don't think it's applied since like the '20s.
Yeah,
but tycoon maybe. Is that a good better term?
Yeah.
Evil oil tycoon.
Yeah, I'm just like, the last time I've heard Baron that wasn't in a funny situation was like Red Baron, and he gave me pizza.
Or he was Snoopy.
Yeah.
Or no, Snoopy was fighting him in his slap with Camel. But anyway, the basic plot of The Muppets is that Chris Cooper buys them up a theater, and he says that he's going to open it, like turn it into a new like Muppet Museum, but actually he wants to drill for oil because there's oil underneath the theater. So he's going to like destroy the theater and drill for oil.
Wait, is this which Muppet Theater is this?
It's like the one from the Muppet, like the first Muppet, couple of Muppet movies, like the original Muppet movie.
The one in was that one located in Los Angeles?
Yeah, the one with like
okay.
Kermit's office and stuff.
Okay.
And
there were at least three Muppet theaters, so.
Yeah.
There's one in New York, there's one in Chicago, and there's one in LA.
Wait, there's Muppet Studios and there's Muppet Theater. Because they go, like, so Jason Segel and, he and his brother, who's Walter, who's the new Muppet, they never really explain, like, how he's their brothers or something, but it's just like, hey, it's my brother, he's a Muppet.
Whoa. What?
They never explained it. It's just like, it's like the beginning of the movie is like Walter like narrating like their early life and stuff. He's like, this is me. This is my brother Gary. I know what you're thinking. We could be twins.
See, I always thought there was a nice distinction between humans and Muppets, and you never cross the line.
Maybe he's adopted. I don't really know.
But, maybe.
But like, So Gary and Walter, and then Gary's girlfriend Mary, who's Amy Adams, they're going to Los Angeles for like their anniversary, and Walter tags along because he wants to go like go to the Muppet Studio. Then he overhears Chris Cooper like describing his evil plan to his henchman, who's Bobo and Uncle Deadly.
Bobo, no.
Bobo's like always like on the wrong side of, like he was helping the bad guys in like Muppets in Space too.
He was the guard, though. But he's always, like, really confused.
He doesn't realize that he's helping the bad guys. He just, like, goes along with it. He's like Zangief in the Street Fighter movie.
Oh, God, that was terrible. They made him like semi-retarded too in that movie.
He's the bad guy, man. What? But anyway, so they go to Kermit about like that because Cooper's plan, and they like so they go off and like try to gather all the Muppets and like put on a telethon so they can like raise, because if they raise $10 million, they can buy the theater back.
You don't need the banks. You just go through some old charity.
Yeah, buy a telethon. Put on a show. That's the real way to raise money. So that's basically the whole plot of the movie. It's them, like, gathering Muppets and putting on a show.
You know, I'm pretty sure there's some, like, real estate rules or bank things you gotta go through to buy back your own property. Well, you can't just, like...
There's, like, a crazy contract that, like, apparently Kermit signed in, like, the 70s or something. It's like a like, giant scroll of like a contract. That also has like the deed to the studio and stuff in it.
Yeah, that's insane, like real estate laws.
Yeah.
Like you really got screwed when your deed and your payment plan and your mortgage is all in one big thing.
Well, they're puppets, so it doesn't matter.
True. So are there any cameos from Sesame Street things?
No, not really.
Dang.
There's a lot of obscure Muppets that they sort of like bring back, like weirdly like they feature them a lot, like Crazy Harry, if you remember him, he's like the explosives guy who like is constantly blowing things up.
I remember him from the Muppet Treasure Island.
Yeah, he's in a bunch. Lou, who like he's like weird like the weird opera guy. He has like the weird like opera costume, like the frilly like he has like the frilly neck thing, like the
Muppet. Yes, head. And he carries a skull.
Yeah. Like, he's in it a bunch. Trying to think, like, who else. Like, Muppet Newsman is in it like, a little bit.
Has a gray suit.
Yeah, he's like, breaking news!
I always confuse him and, like, the one from Sesame Street.
Yeah. But then, like, my only real complaint is, like, the sort of, like, the fan favorites, like, sort of get, like, pushed to the background a little bit. Like, Dr. Honeydew has, like, no lines, basically. He has, like, one line. And he's, like, basically gone. Rizzo has, like, no lines.
Aw, Rizzo's, like...
Sweetum's in it for, like, one scene. Well, actually, a couple scenes, but, like, he doesn't really... He's, like, in the... He's, like, basically just, like, musical numbers and stuff. Who else? There's a bunch of, like...
they introduce a new one besides Gary? Or not Gary.
Oh, yeah. One of my favorite... Like, one of my all-time favorite new Muppet, like, Muppets introduced in this movie. 80s Robot.
Wait, that's his name?
Yeah, 80s Robot. I think you might see him in the trailer because he was like driving the car. In the trailer, when like all the Muppets are in the car.
I didn't see that one. No, maybe I just don't know. But.
Yeah, but he basically like he's like basically like a giant version of Rob that like came with like the Nintendo. And he is like every line he has is like it's like hilarious. Like when he gets first introduced, he's like he comes in like offers Kermit like Tab or New Coke. He's like, hello, Kermit, would you like a Tab or New Coke? It's like, not now, 80s Robot. And then when they're off, like, when they go first, like, set out to, like, find all the different Muppets, like, he's like, I will use my dial-up modem to find the Muppets. He does, like, the dial-up noise where it's like,
that's pretty funny.
Yeah. And then he's like, I suggest we use a montage to find the other Muppets quicker. And then it goes into the montage of, like, finding everyone.
So, wait, they just find new Muppets to put on a show? Like, that's it?
They gather, basically everyone. They gather, like, they have Fozzie's, like, in Reno, like, with, like, the Muppets, who's, like, the weird knockoff Muppets. And he's singing, like, Rainbow Connection, but it's, like, this, like, horrible, like, commercial version of it, like, advertising the casino they're in.
Wait. So why are they? Why did they leave? Is there? They explain that, or they just are?
They just like broke up.
Oh.
Because they just got like their popularity went away, or like.
True.
So
it's been like 10 years.
Yeah. So they just basically went and did their own things. Like Gonzo became like a toilet plumbing magnate, like business magnate. Like he has like this like a huge like toilet business.
It's booming, I guess. Yeah.
And, like Scooter works for Google.
That's funny.
Electric Mayhem's, like playing in a subway.
That's sad.
Animals in anger management with Jack Black. he's trying to control his drumming obsession. No drums! No drums! Every time they try Animal, you gotta drum, he's like, no!
Yeah, it's weird. It's for some people, this is gonna be their first Muppets movie.
Yeah.
You know, or Muppets exposure.
Mm-hmm.
And this is definitely a throwback to fans.
Yeah. It's a lot of 70s and 80s references, and a lot of obscure Muppets, no one except the biggest Muppet fans would you even recognize or anything. Also some pretty good music as well. Most of the new songs are pretty good. There's actually, Chris Cooper has this at the same time awful and awesome rap that he does. The Muppets go and try to appeal to his sense of decency and try to give him the theater back, without any paying for anything. He just does this super elaborate rap dance number, dissing them.
Is it 80s rap or is it modern rap?
It's 90s, early 90s hip hop.
So it's Will Smith rap?
Yeah, basically.
Great.
Or maybe the Poochie rap from The Simpsons.
Oh God.
But then, so he does this whole rap and he just goes no. And well, he probably could just told us that instead of rapping. And there's another great song where Am I a Muppet or a Man? Which is Jason Segel and Walter's big introspective song. And they look in the windows and see Jason Segel looks in a mirror and sees a Muppet version of himself. And then Walter looks in the mirror and sees a human version of himself, and they're trying to figure out what they want to do with their lives.
It'd be cool if the Muppets aren't Muppets too, it's the audience sees the Muppets as Muppets, but in reality they aren't Muppets, they're actually people.
That'd be a weird Fight Club or something sort of thing.
Well, no, just how our perspective is skewed, you know, it's just how we see them as they're Muppets, but how they see themselves are actually humans, or they are humans.
Maybe, I don't know. That would be kind of weird.
It would be dark. Yeah. It would be comical. It would be this weird ass, this movie that just scare people.
And then, a bunch of pretty awesome cameos too, throughout the whole movie, as usual for a Muppet movie.
Yep.
Zach Galifianakis is a hobo in the Muppet Theater. Alan Arkin is the grumpy tour guide of the Muppet Studios. He's we're going to go visit the room where they kept the medium length wires and rope. And there's Emily Blunt and Neil Patrick Harris and John Krasinski and a bunch of other people.
Michael Caine in it?
Hmm? Michael Caine?
Yeah.
No Michael Caine.
Oh.
And then Jack Black actually has actually more than a cameo. He's a pretty big part in it. He becomes the host of the Muppet Telethon.
As Jack Black.
Yeah. Because cause they have to get a network airtime. So they go to every network and they're nope. Finally, this one network is because their big show got canceled, right when the Muppets showed up, so, they have, this two-hour, black hole of nothing. So, all right, we'll put you on. So, yeah, definitely, if you're a Muppet fan, definitely you have to, go check this out, because it's awesome. Hopefully more Muppets in the... means, this is, the beginning of, more Muppets.
I wouldn't mind a new Muppet show.
That would be awesome.
That makes sense, because a lot of shows are canceling these days.
Mm-hmm.
So, it would be 30 Rock, almost. Even if 30 Rock ever ends, I wish a Muppet Show version of 30 Rock shows pops up.
It's completely backstage, or just the Muppet Show.
Yeah, there was a theory that... There was actually a theory that says how 30 Rock and Muppet Show are the same thing.
I can see that.
Kermit is Liz Lemon, and Jack is was Sam Eagle and stuff. It was this weird, you could see how it works. So.
Who's Statler and Waldorf?
I don't know. There's no one that criticizes the work besides Jack. It's weird.
Oh, that's another little nitpick thing about this. Like, there's only like two or three good Statler and Waldorf jabs.
Aw. Well, are they at the end too?
Well, they show they have like one good one at the beginning, and then two or three during the show. And they actually have because the last 3 minutes is like basically just like a Muppet Show episode.
That's good and bad.
Yeah.
It depends on how it is.
Well, like, with all their crazy acts, like, it's like a barbershop quartet of, like, Ralph and Sam Eagle and Beaker. And they're, like, singing, and, like, the pig captain from Pigs in Space. And they're doing, like, a barbershop version of Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Because that's relevant.
Then, like, the chickens are all do a version of, like, CeeLo's Fuck You.
Really?
Yep.
Jesus.
Which, man, that song has gotten completely out of control.
It's gonna be in, like, a commercial one day. Wait, has it been in a commercial yet?
Maybe. I know it's been in a bunch of shows.
I know, censored as hell, but.
Yeah, Forget You.
I'm guessing they cluck you, didn't they?
Well, it's just like them, like, clucking. So there's not any words.
Ah.
It's like what Carmella is like the main chicken, like Gonzo's wife.
Gonzo is his wife now.
Yeah,
we talked about this. How he's like a sick chicken fucker. So okay,
but yeah, review up on the site. Definitely check it out. It's awesome. So why don't we move into news? Because there's a whole bunch of news from last week. As everyone's like trying to catch up from the Thanksgiving lull. And a bunch of trailers came out, and we're going to talk about a couple of them. And first one is the new John Carter trailer, actually the full-length theatrical trailer for Disney's big sort of blockbuster, or actually they think it's going to be a blockbuster for next year.
They're trying to market it as a blockbuster, but I have no idea, like...
Yeah, I don't...
Why?
Who's excited for John Carter?
Maybe you're like 50 or 60, and this is something you like... heard about on the radio when you were like,
yeah, if you're big, like, five. If you're a huge like fantasy nerd.
Because even then, like, Conan was a big like comic, like pulp comic era kind of thing too.
Yeah.
And you can see how that did. It wasn't
yep.
This, you know, national blockbuster. This is even older than that, I think, right? This even predates
that.
Yeah,
this is like Tarzan and stuff. Because Edgar Rice Burroughs wrote Tarzan wrote this.
So, I mean, it's cool to see, like, how they thought back then. Like, they did really different fantasies of jungle fantasy, space fantasy.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like they're trying to, you know, like, Flash Gordon was a better version of John Carpenter.
John Carter. But, yeah, it's sort of basically the same thing. Yeah.
Flash, but at least, you know, Flash Gordon was a quarterback.
Yeah. And that was in the 80s, so...
That was in the 80s. Well, you know, the original, even though, remember the original
yeah, it's like,
Flash Gordon?
Yeah, it's like the 30s, they had like the TV things or like mm-hmm. weird movies.
But like, John Carter came out before that, and I've never seen anything. This is like how they've really reached some sort of weird pit
in like,
Hollywood.
It's a weird like cult thing.
Okay, I'm not going to disrespect something I don't know. But when you kind of put, you know, it's like, this is really weird. Why didn't they just do a cartoon first or something?
I'm sure it's like probably like a really small but like devoted fan base for John Carter.
Honestly, I think I was in a movie theater where everyone was like scratching their head when they saw this trailer because we're just like, I have no idea what a John Carter is.
Yeah. Actually, the first trailer was like, it sort of made it look like a weird like Prince of Persia knockoff.
Until you see, like, the planet, and then he's like, oh, it's from, like, what, the 18th century, too?
Yeah, he's like, I think it's, like, very soon after the Civil War. he's like a Confederate soldier that gets transported to Mars somehow.
And the best part is the trailer is, like, you hear it through, like, his nephew, because, like, your uncle, John Carter, is
yeah, that's dead. Yeah, that was the first one.
So, like, oh, okay. So, did we learn about the nephew, or did we learn about John Carter?
I wonder if it's going to be, like, dual stories.
I guess, but it's not like he's gonna like. It's gonna be like, whatchamacallit? It's like Avatar, in the sense where he's gonna stay and help the people and stuff.
Oh my god! If did you watch the new trailer, Chris? The one that just came out last week.
No.
Like it is. It totally looks like an Avatar ripoff now, except see? It's like desert.
I don't even need to see it
because just... you actually see like the Martians now and like these like really weird like tall green dudes.
And all he does
like,
is, like...
And he has to go... Like, John Carter has to, like, help them fight, like, the evil, like, other Martians. Yeah. We're playing, like, Mark Strong is one of the evil Martians.
God damn it. Can he just not play a bad guy?
And then, like, Willem Dafoe is, like, the voice of the good Martian. Leader of the good Martians.
He's all the good Martians? Or he's just
the voice of, like, the leader, dude.
Okay. That'd be funny. He's like, and Willem Dafoe has every good Martian.
Yeah, I mean, it totally looks like exactly the same thing as Avatar of, like, this white guy is going to go and help the natives. I'm the best native.
So these people are clumsy up until this white guy shows up and leads them to rebellion. Huh. I've seen this somewhere.
Dancing with Wolves. Last Samurai.
Fern Gully.
I also got... Being in the trailer gave me, like, horrible flashbacks to, like, the Attack of the Clones, like, gladiator battle scene.
Oh, good.
Because, like, the beginning of, like, this new trailer was, like, John Carter in an arena, like, fighting this, like, weird, like, tiger alien thing. Tiger bear alien.
Oh, I remember that from, like, the lion snake thing from Attack of the Clones.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically, like, it's like a more bulk, it's like a bulked up version of, like, the thing that attacks, whatever, Padme or whatever, like, weird tiger thing.
Yep.
So yeah, he's in an arena. All the Martians there, like, watching him.
I'm just gonna say out of a limb, like, this movie's not gonna do...
Yeah.
It might decently do well, but it's not gonna generate, like, 100 million fans.
They're putting so much fucking money into this movie, too. Just, like, advertising and, like... I'm sure it was probably pretty expensive to make it.
I find it weird where it's like, think about this and Tintin, right? It's like, Tintin, my money would be on Tintin in the sense of like...
It's got like Steven Spielberg, like...
Creativity.
Yeah.
And marketing.
And Peter Jackson. So it's just like, if you're a fan of either of those guys, you're probably like, all right, I'll go buy see this, I guess.
Who's, do you know who's like directing this?
I think it might be Andrew Stanton who directed Finding Nemo.
Okay, like, he can tell a story.
Yeah. It's sort of weird, like, the Pixar guys are, like, branching out, like, Brad Bird's directing Mission Possible.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
So now, and then Andrew Stanton's directing this. I don't know, I mean, it looks like, some of the things look kind of interesting in John Carter, but, it looks, like, super generic also, just like... We've seen, like, Avatar already and, like, all the other Sonic movies. Avatar was already, like, super derivative of everything, so.
Yeah, Avatar is a movie
Yeah, John Carter's not going to have, like, the wow factor of, like, Avatar's 3D either, probably.
Is this movie, like, going to be, like, Disney 3D,
too? It's probably going to be Disney Digital 3D, I'm sure, but.
It's not a selling point anymore.
No.
People are just... The thing is, with this kind of movie... There's just, like, unnecessary amount of like, things that no one's going to be excited about. You know, like, the main actor was Gambit, and that's it. That's all I can remember him in.
Giant Lights he was in, apparently.
The TV show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not like Tom Cruise is, you know, John Carter. Like, oh, you know, I might, because I know Tom Cruise. But I'd rather see him as, you know, Ethan Hunt.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
I think this is probably be worse than, like Tron Legacy didn't do bad, but it didn't do as well as Disney hoped it would be.
Right. They thought Tron Legacy would bring a new messiah of, like, Disney goers.
Well, yeah, or, like, because like, they thought, like, everyone loved Tron, so they're like, everyone loved Tron's gonna come out and see this one, right? Like, this,
you know,
like, John Carter doesn't, like, no one around knows who John Carter is or like what John Carter is. So
I'm a Disney fan. I don't even know what a John Carter is, and I don't know why Disney slapped its name on it. You know,
I think they're still trying to find like the new Pirates of the Caribbean, I think, maybe, or something.
They missed that boat.
Yeah. Like Prince of Persia didn't work for them last year that Prince of Persia came out.
It's still, I liked it because in the sense of video game movies, this is pretty high up there.
Yeah, but it was competent.
It was competent, you know, like
a competently done video game movie.
It's not the most original idea, but it was good. I liked it. But yeah, I mean, again, those who know the concept will automatically have a predisposed idea of it.
Yeah, they got to do like a trailer of like explain who the fuck John Carter is.
Exactly. That would just that's why I don't even know like why he's there. I'm just trying to know who this man is first.
Yeah, just do like a voiceover trailer of like. There was a Confederate soldier named John Carter.
Went to Mars.
Who transported to Mars.
Somehow.
You're like John Hurt or something to like narrate the fucking story.
Remember like old 90s Disney movies used to do that? They used to like explain half the movie in the trailer right there.
Yep.
This is something that desperately needs to be explained.
Or like the final Green Lantern trailer from earlier this year, where they explained the entire backstory of Green Lantern.
I mean, certain movies you can kind of figure out, and you're like, shit, the trailer ruined it. But that's for movies that, you know... Here's the thing. Like I said before, a trailer can either help or hinder a movie. With either the trailer just giving you way too much information, or a trailer that just generates no fucking interest.
Mm-hmm.
And the John Carter one's just like, every time I see him, like, I just like, you know, I don't want to see this. All this trailer to do is telling me to save my money.
I think it's coming out as like a super packed weekend too. So
what's it fighting against?
I can look it up in just a second.
Okay.
I was actually just, we actually like at the movie theater I work at, we actually have like everything coming out till June 1st of next year.
Mm-hmm.
We have a huge list. When I was looking at it today, I think there's like four or five movies coming out at the same time as John Carter. I think it's like March 9th or something, maybe. Yeah, March 9th.
Is it steep competition?
let me check here. You got John Carter playing the field, which I have no idea what the hell that is. So this is a romantic comedy.
Awesome.
The Raven.
Oh.
Which I would surprise see The Raven over John Carter.
I understand who Alan Pohl is, so that's got a better chance of me just stumbling into the movie theater.
Yeah. And then Think Like a Man, which I don't know what that is either.
Oh boy, I bet it's a romantic comedy.
Yep, it's a comedy. So, yeah. I'll probably be, like, the winner, but I probably won't do that well. It'll probably be, like, a $20-30 million opening, I would guess. Maybe, like, $30-40. It's definitely not... I don't think Disney's going to make their money back anytime soon on that one.
Nope.
So I'm sure like it's gonna like just gonna be like $100 million at least with like all the advertising factored in and stuff.
I mean, if they know how to cut their losses, they should stop marketing it until the actual like 2 months before it comes out.
Yeah, start like January. Definitely start like cranking them out.
Or wait till like a movie like it just bombs and then like they want to show this one. They're like, hey, this one might not suck.
Yeah.
You've seen the rest. Now see the best.
John Carter from the guy who got Tarzan. So anyway, moving on to the other trailer that we were going to talk about. Came out actually earlier this week. It's the trailer for Cabin in the Woods, which has been on the shelf for a while because it was a victim of the crazy MGM bankruptcy situation that happened, like, was it last year or 2 years ago?
almost about 2 years ago.
Basically everything that MGM was going to put out got put on the shelf. Like this, Red Dawn, a bunch of other movies, Bond.
Wasn't Footloose one of them?
Might have been, I'm not sure. But anyway, Joss Whedon produced and co-wrote The Cabin in the Woods, and Drew Goddard, who directed, who wrote Cloverfield, is directing this and also co-wrote this. So,
so big names on this.
Yeah. Also, pre-Thor, pre-anyone who knew who he was, Chris Hemsworth is starring in it. And I don't know. We also saw the trailer. What you think, Chris?
Here's a trailer that insane. really caught my attention because yeah. It was like, you think, oh, it's gonna be this creepy like murder in the woods, and then becomes like
hillbilly is killing them or something,
right? And then you get this scene where a bird hits this invisible fence, and it really changes the tone really fast. And as a first, like, there's only like one trailer, right?
Yeah, this is the first trailer ever.
So it's just like, oh wow, it didn't even like try to trick us to say like maybe there's something else to this movie than you think. But it's just, and it shows you like that it's the cabin in the woods is actually like an experimental,
yeah,
testing weird, facility,
like, basically like umbrella, like weird, like
yeah, like
it's like an umbrella weird under the freaking cabin,
weird paramilitary type company just doing experiments in the middle of nowhere. You don't really know.
Or
because they're all like dump shaded
something, maybe things. Yeah.
Maybe mutants. My bet mutants.
Or evil thing some sort of kicking them. Yeah.
Right.
Weird bubble shield. Guy underground controlling everything.
Maybe it seemed like more people. This is it's a facility that just does weird shit on like average people.
It looks like they could like control like landslides too, because like there's like one scene where like he pushed a button and like the landslide happened.
And that's just good editing. I don't know.
Yeah, it might have been. They seem to have,
I bet you that
looks like they have a lot of control over this area.
Definitely, it's definitely like they waited for Chris Hemsworth to be popular to like release this.
Well,
too.
They kind of lucked out.
That's true.
With like putting on the shelf, because like I think it was supposed to come out like a couple years ago. And then the MGM thing happened. So then they're like, hey, Thor came out. We can like now we can market this as like Chris Hemsworth starring in it. Put it up.
I bet you he dies. Like
before Avengers.
I bet you he's like the first one to get killed like in the movie or something. And then you're stuck with the rest of the cast. It's
hilarious if he's like a top billed actor and he got killed in it.
Well, if it's before he became top billed actor, so
I think he's still
like things like that.
If you go to IMDb, it's like top billed. Because like the rest of the people are like, nope, you've never even heard of these people before.
Right. I'm just like, but you see a lot more of them in the trailer than you do of Chris Hemsworth, so I'm kind of worried. It's like you expect him to be this big, get the real protagonist, and it turns out, oh no, it's like, you know, it's like the Steven Seagal thing in Executive Decision.
Yeah. Yep.
I'll
go get help. He like walks through the barrier and like gets electrocuted or something.
Or probably like, I should have sex in the shower.
Just
and then
disappears,
just
yeah.
Dies. It's definitely like it's funny because I thought it would be like going camping with Thor, the movie.
Yep.
And then you think it's gonna be this creepy like killer guy. Then it turns out that it's just all these. It's the most unfortunate people hanging out in this facility because it's not like these people are particularly like fit or like Oh, these are like military kids or something on break. They're just like college students
yeah.
or something. And they rented a cabin
they
in the woods.
They picked the wrong cabin.
The wrong cabin. Like, what Craigslist search did they find? Against?
Awesome secluded cabin in the woods. Absolutely no weird science things going on.
And it's, from what I saw, like in order for this place to be really secluded, it's like high up on a mountain.
Yeah.
It's like off any main roads. And all these, it's like, the only way to get to it is you gotta bypass someone's house.
Yeah.
It just, like, all these things you shouldn't do. Like,
at this point, you like, deserve
you,
to be
you
murdered.
Think at the, like, the very least, if you like answer like if you like answer like a Craigslist ad or something about this, like the very least, you expect like some like crazy hillbillies to like murder you or something.
Right. I mean, I just like how it's like four horny teenagers like, and they just don't like, give a shit.
Like, I expect like deliverance guys to be just like waiting in this cabin. I see you answered our ad.
Can't believe that internet works. You know, I knew
the damn library was good for something.
It definitely is like library computer users.
Yeah.
You remember I mentioned how like chainsaws are only scary when you are in like the woods?
Yeah.
This is definitely like it.
Mm-hmm.
The definition of like a chainsaw murderer.
Yep.
It's like, oh, I should be scared when I hear like a loud noise where I shouldn't be.
I'm sure there's going to be some like insane twist at the end of this movie too, maybe.
They're like aliens or something. Yeah,
like it's like the cabin's like it's not even on the planet, it's like not even on planet Earth. It's like this like weird like it's from like Dark City or something. It's on like a disc or something.
No, it's gonna be this weird virtual reality program,
probably
or something. Yeah. Or it's on Mars and this is John Carter.
Oh part man, two. I wonder if imagine if it's like. Did you ever read the Goosebumps book? Welcome to Camp Deadly.
Yep.
Where it was a training facility to go to Earth.
Which that brought more questions, but then that's a kids show, so I was like, I get it. That episode was weird. It's like, this is what happens on Earth. And they point to the sky, and it's Earth. I'm just like, wait, where are they?
It's like the end of this movie is like, congratulations, kids, you passed our test. Now you get to go to Earth. A scouting mission. Dun, dun, dun.
I didn't get it. Like, I got it that, oh, it's a twist that they're not humans. Like, Earth humans, at least.
Yeah.
But, I'm like, oh, amazing. They have the same clothesline, the same, like,
yep.
Same, the same how like customs.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. Again, I'm not gonna diss it yet. I just think the premise is it's different.
Yeah.
I give you that. I like how it's a training facility that's like fucking around with average people, but I have my Saw series. Huh?
But my interest has definitely peaked a little bit in it.
It's better than what I thought, you know. Especially the title, Cabin in the Woods. I was like, that's so
generic. Yeah.
Generic. Might as well be like, scary things happen.
Yeah.
Well, public scary. Okay.
Scary house. The scary door.
Horror movie.
So, a bunch of other trailers that came out. You can check them out on the website. Should we talk about the Three Stooges trailer quick, Chris? How horrible it looks.
Well, it's not. It's definitely horrible. But yeah. I like how horrible it is. Say that.
I imagine you're gonna get like just super drunk and watch it on like Netflix when it comes out.
Holy shit! It is Netflix just is the watch. Definition. I think Netflix my Netflix has a boner for this kind of thing.
Yeah. I feel like in between all the American Pie movies.
Between like
the American Pie Presents movies.
American Pie Presents Naked Mile.
Yeah.
American Pie Presents. Something else.
Beta House. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Was there a Beta House movie?
I think there was. I don't know.
Was it like Stifler's Revenge, too?
Yeah, I don't know.
I can't wait to see American Reunion, though.
Isn't
that the real American?
Yeah, is that like
American
something?
Movie?
March or April?
Hmm?
Isn't it like March or April, I think?
I forgot. I just can't wait.
Yeah, also, there was also the Tim and Eric Billion Dollar Movie trailer. Did you see that?
Yeah, I like it.
Shram!
I mean, it's definitely something if you're a big fan of it, and it's really weird. Tim and Eric shows are just like, it simulates a drunk experience.
Yeah.
Where things are just coming at you.
It's very disconcerting, like, seeing, like, an actual, like, plot. And like
no,
normal, it looks like a normal shot in film.
Yeah, I'd swear to see like really high grade cinematography.
Yeah,
with their zany
and
antics,
not like Caesar inducing like colors and stuff flashing,
or purposely terrible like amateur CGI
or like grainy film filter.
But that's the charm about it. That's what I like about it too.
Yeah.
The one thing, it's
probably not going to do well in theaters. It's going to do great at home.
It's going to be like, I'm sure it's going to be like two theaters, if that. It'll be like New York and Los Angeles, and that'll probably be it.
Like, do you remember the Aqua Teen Hunger Force movie?
Yep.
I remember my local theater had it for like a week or two, and then I never heard of it again. But I did buy the DVD when it came out, though.
Yeah.
It did great for DVD, just terrible in theaters.
It's going to be on demand in, like, January. It's going to be in theaters in, like, March.
Wait, what?
It's going to be on demand in, like, the end of January.
Why?
I don't know. I guess they're trying some weird release. A lot of movies are doing that now, where, like, you can, like, watch it on demand before it even gets to the theaters. Like, a lot of, like, indie movies.
I guess it wants to help generate interest, but it's like you've seen it. It's
probably like you said, they'll probably make way more money on, like people watching it at home than like going to the theater and seeing it.
One issue I could see is that, you know, it's like some people, it's like, are they afraid that someone's going to watch the movie in public? It's like, oh, they're going to catch me in the theater.
Yeah. I'm gonna put out a list because I went and saw Tim and Eric.
Yeah. Can't take a date to this movie. Tim and Eric's definitely not a date movie.
No.
Like a first time date, your date will leave you.
There may be some Dr. Steve Brule going on in that movie, though.
That'd be awesome. Well, like, the premise is
well,
the two people, they try to produce something using someone's money.
Yeah, Tim and Eric, like Robert Loggia,
yeah,
gives them $1 billion to make a movie. They blow it all, and they like they go on the run, and they find like this abandoned mall. And they're like, we can reopen this mall and like make our money back. So like, that's what they do. And like the mall's like all these like insane like shop owners and like weird customers that come in.
See, like it's a funny like. I like the premise because it's funny and stupid, but, mm-hmm. You know, then again, I'm not going to go see it in theaters. So. Or unless it's like a group thing, drunk decision. Well, yeah, it's all blow $10.
Tim and Eric. Shram.
It'd be funny if I saw little kids aren't going to see this. Or if they are, their parents are terrible parents.
Yes, they are. Hey, I'll say this when you kids go to sleep. I'm starting an Adult Swim and I'm stoned. Let's go watch it. There's lots of colors.
You kids are stupid. This is great for you.
So yeah, you can check out all the trailers over at everythingh.com. So we should probably move on to other news. Cause we spent like half an hour talking about trailers, but lots of other news to talk about. Universal Studios in Orlando is closing another classic ride, unfortunately. That was news from last week.
First they took Back to the Future, now they're taking this.
Yep, so they're closing Jaws, the ride.
Man.
Did you ever go on it, Chris?
How am I? I've been on it so many times.
Okay. It was my favorite ride, but it was a pretty awesome ride.
Well, don't worry, they still have the ride open in L.A., I think.
I think I'm not sure what they're doing. Cause I think it was actually like, maybe it was like Monday or Tuesday this week, they actually like sort of confirmed that like they're closing Jaws so they can expand Harry Potter World.
Oh, those fuckers.
And they're opening a Harry Potter World in Orlando, in Hollywood as well.
Oh. So, okay. Well, no, I don't understand this. They already have so much space in Islands of Adventure. They're taking over other parts of the regular places.
Yeah.
Goddamn.
I think I'm not sure if because they had a big press conference. I'm not sure if it was just a rumor. It was actually in the press conference, but they said they're gonna build like a London sort of like Harry Potter London section, and like they're gonna have like the Hogwarts Express, and maybe like a train station or something.
So instead of like a nice waterfront, they're gonna convert it into like a dirty London.
Somebody like train station or something,
like metro. Okay, cool.
I wonder if they're trying to do like a Disney World monorail, but with like the Hogwarts Express, like go maybe through two parks or something. Maybe I don't know.
Well, there's three parks now in Universal Studios.
Well, City Walk's not really a park.
It's still, like, something.
It's a section. It's like, would you say Downtown Disney is a park?
Kind of.
It's a shopping center, basically.
It's still, like, the free part of Disney that you can, like, be in without being charged.
I'm going to go to Fortune Megastore.
That's closed, CDs. Too. It's not there anymore.
Is it? Was it, like, 3 years ago, maybe? It was still open? I don't know.
I went there, it was open, but then after that, it closed.
Weird. I got a Guitar Hero shirt in there, it was awesome.
it's great that they're changing the park, but it's bad that they got rid of this, because this was definitely, like, something that really helped Universal Studios back in the day, you know?
Yeah, it's a classic ride. It's definitely, like...
It's dated as hell, because I remember, like, looking at watching the movies.
Yeah, it was like, it's super cheesy, like, because you had, like, your skipper. It was, like, I think there was a part where, like, he pulled, like, a grenade launcher out or something, or, like, a shotgun at the end. And, like,
he pulls out, like, a grenade launcher.
Yeah, when you're in, like, the boathouse, and, like, all the flames are going on.
Let me tell you, that ride is four times as scary when it's rainy.
I'm sure it is.
Oh my god, I remember one time I've been on this ride a couple times, so I went on, like, it's just the atmosphere is so fucking creepy when it starts getting dark and rains in Florida.
It should be like, oh man, if it was raining, like, fog, like, a little bit foggy, and, like, Jaws just, like, pops out of the fog, that'd be the ultimate.
Yeah, like, it's scarier, the ride is way scarier in the dark, like, when it's getting to, like, dust. Yeah. I've been a couple times, again, just... I haven't been on dark and the rain. Oh my god, I would just, like, flip a shit. I mean, it's a classic operator interaction ride, you know?
Yeah.
You go there, the operator talks to you, it's like, whoa, somehow you're in Massachusetts or something. Amityville, yeah, like, oh, look at this great, like...
Welcome to the Amityville sightseeing tour. Well, there's a lighthouse.
Hear that?
Oh, Jaws! giant shark!
Somehow in this man-made pond thing.
Yep. No, you're on the ocean, Chris. You're off the shore of Massachusetts. Or, like, whatever.
Someplace in Massachusetts. Yeah. It's like, oh, how did I get in New England? I'm not. I'm in Florida still.
It's definitely a cooler version than of, like, the Disney Jungle Cruise. Same sort of
thing. Oh my god. Same concept, except the, like, giant shark pops out everywhere.
I'm trying to kill you, Jungle Cruise.
I always remember near the end.
Just like the hippo, I guess, in Jungle Cruise that pops out.
But, like, they don't light it on fire, though.
I think they shoot it.
But it doesn't, like, do anything.
Like, sort of water at you.
Do you remember, like, this ride's based off of Jaws 1 and 3.
Yeah.
Because they kill it with the power lines.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which Michael Caine did.
Well, Michael Caine was in 4.
Well, yeah, okay, 4 then, because it's the one where he tricks Jaws to bite the electric stick.
I think that was 2.
Jesus Christ, really?
Because 4, they kill Jaws by ramming it with the front of the boat. And he explodes somehow.
They pierce him with the shark exploding thing.
Well, they have, like, the weird, like, strobe thing, like the weird strobe device that, like, causes Jaws to, like, roar at them. Because sharks can roar. But then, yeah, they ran it with, like, the front, like, their, like, yacht, like, their sailboat.
Okay, yeah, then it was number 2 then, because it's the one where he's really stalking the kids at that little, like, boat get-together.
Yeah. I think they built this, like, before, like, 3 and 4 it came out, so.
All right, yeah, so basically they at the end of the ride, he bites his power line and his body floats and he smells like really weird barbecue.
Yep.
It's a great experience as a kid. It really gets to you.
You see, like, charred jaws, like, float up.
Mm-hmm.
Look, kids. It's a charred shark body.
We killed it. Yay. This won't scare you for the fear of water.
Yeah. Like, I'm not as upset as, like, when Back to the Future closed, but it's still pretty sad. Like, I don't even know if, like, I know any rides that are, like, if I've even ridden any of the new rides at Universal, like, because, like, all the rides last time I went to Universal Studios, like, I rode all the, like, the old rides, and like they're all closed now. Like, Back to the Future, and, like, is King Kong still open? Or is that closed,
too? It's still open.
The King, like, King Kong, open. King Confrontation?
Yep.
Where you're on, like, the
cart?
Yeah,
the new
tram?
The weird tram that's in, not New York City, it's, like, something like it.
Something.
Something. Last time I was there, the earthquake ride was not working.
Yeah, they had earthquake still, I remember that. They like, the weird, like, Jetsons ride. Or, like, the Hanna-Barbera ride.
That's gone.
Yeah, that's gone.
I remember that. That was pretty fun as a kid. Now I can't remember that, like, too well, but
it's like,
I remember that was there.
They have like, it's Simpsons, Men in Black, Mummy.
God, that Mummy ride.
The Mummy coaster, and then,
the Black Cherry Taker.
I guess King Kong, that's about it, for, like, Universal Studios.
No, the Terminator move, the ride.
Terminator show. Terminator show still there?
It's really outdated as hell.
They still do the Beetlejuice show?
The Monster Mash, though?
Yeah.
I think it's seasonal.
Or, like, the Ghostbusters, like, show?
That's gone. That's Twister now.
That's Twister? Oh, yeah. Yeah, see?
Even Twister's
The Glowing Studios has been closed for, like, 10 years.
I think they demolished it, right?
Yeah, I think so. One of the darkest days in history.
Filmed at location in the Uniqlo studio. It's like, I want to go there. Cool. I went there once.
Yeah, I went there once too.
I got one of their green t-shirts that has the Nickelodeon splat on it.
I think we went there and they weren't filming anything. So we just got to go in like this weird playroom. And they did like a weird like, let's play a game. We're going to play a game with a couple of people. And this would be like sort of like what you'd see if we were doing a game show.
I think that's what the tour was. That they never showed you. Like they filmed it always on
like
dead hours.
It's like the weird, yeah. It's always like the weird like Hershey. If you ever go to Hershey Park, and you go on like the chocolate factory tour. It's like the weird, like it's like this like weird like 5 minute tour of just like you go to like the animatronic factory, and you don't see the real factory.
Right. It's like that chocolate's really dirty. It's like oh, it's really dusty too.
Yep. Why are there cows that are seeing? Yeah, but anyway, Harry Potter. Apparently it's,
God damn you, Harry Potter.
I mean, it's super successful, so I understand like the business thing of like we want to expand this because everyone's going to it.
That's true. Like, I don't think the world needs another Jaws movie. So,
yeah, I mean, it was outdated, but everyone loved it, so it's pretty sad. So, other news. Apparently, Manos, The Hands of Fate, the classic Mr. Sinister episode, someone on the internet found a 16mm copy of the original film, and they're going to make a Blu-ray version of it.
Insane.
It is insane.
Now, are they going to, do you know if they're going to add the bonus, like, Mr. Science Theater track to it?
It's just the original, like, the original movie.
Well, that's unfortunate, because I remember they a special edition Plan 9 from Outer Space had a version on it that you could put the Mystery Science Theater version in it.
Yeah.
Like, that was a pretty cool bonus.
Well, Mystery Science Theater is actually releasing, Manos is coming out as, like, special edition Mystery Science Theater version.
Really?
I think it's a couple weeks ago, it's actually out. It's like, it's just Manos, and you get the MST3K episode, then also the original movie. But this guy found, like, I guess, like, an even more original of, like, because I guess there's stuff missing that never got into, like, the Mr. Science Theater version. So this guy found, like, this, like, he bought, like, a lot of, like film canisters on eBay. It turns out there's, like, a bunch of, like, these, like, weird movies. And, like, one of them was Manos.
More plot. Oh, good.
Well, I guess cause if you remember, like, then it had never had a title sequence. It was just like weird, like images of like fields and stuff,
yeah.
And, like them driving. So I guess, there was like an actual
opening.
Yeah. Well, because
doesn't help.
Like, actually, I'm reading it. Like, he actually found the work print.
Oh, so it has all of the marks on it,
which is like. Before they edited it and stuff, so like this is like the director's cut, I guess.
The master copy, though.
Yeah. And like if you look at some of like the like he put up some like stills of like the film reel, you can see like images from the reel, and like mm-hmm. it looks crazy because I guess like the Mystery Science Theater version it was like a copy of a copy of a copy. So it was shot at 16mm and they blew it up to like 35mm. Then they so that was already a copy, and then when they copied it, the VHS transfer, it was a copy of a copy, and it was like so it looked horrible.
So it's like this one actually looks like a very decent quality.
Yeah, it actually like looks decent, yeah.
Man, I can't imagine what movie theater had that, you know? You gotta imagine that like one out of nowhere theater that had this reel. They premiered it one time.
Or just, like, and director just like sold it at a garage sale or something. Like, I don't want this movie anymore. Destroyed my life.
One of my worst films. Ruined my career.
I'm going to be selling fertilizer. I think he said he's going to do like a Kickstarter or something to like raise money for it to like get this Blu-ray made.
You know, I'll fund it. We should fund it.
You can go to manosinhd.com and like learn more about it. It's pretty crazy.
I gotta read the see like what else he wants out of it besides us giving him money to just sell the rights to it, you know?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's like public domain almost. It's so hated that it's just like no one will back it.
A lot of those weird horror movies are like in public domain.
Right. I mean, after now, because now usually it's like 80 or 90 years something have to be a public domain.
Yeah, re-up the rights or else it just lapses.
Right. Or it's so terribly like backlash that no one will take it, that any company is just like, fuck it, we'll take it. Like, we'll pay the like $2 right exchange title release.
And we'll put it at like 50 horror movies for $50. 50 exactly. Horror movies for $5.
It's like a weird 80s movie that like never went anywhere, that died on the shelf.
Yep.
So Manos definitely does not need to be respected, but it needs to be recognized.
Yeah. That's one of the worst movies ever.
Oh, yeah. Even if, like, the missing footage is put back in, it's still not going to help the movie.
No.
That's how bad it is.
Torgo. I watched the house while the master's away. He has this, like, weird goat legs. There was just, like they shoved, like, 5 pillows into his leg, the pants, and, like, him walk around.
Oh, God.
So weird. So, other bits and other news, Steven Seagal, his new show, I think we talked about it a couple times here, his scripted show, True Justice, is, got announced last week that's actually coming to Reels Channel next year. Reels Channel. Which, they actually, aired the, Kennedy miniseries that his channel didn't want to air. And they've been, actually, Steven Seagal going there is actually sort of like a weird, like perfect fit. Because Reels Channel, I actually get it. And they show just like, I think they've shown like every like Steven Seagal directed DVD movie on there.
They must love him, so they'll
like,
take him.
They show like Attack Force and Mercenary for Justice and like
Into the Sun.
Die and like Out for a Kill and stuff. Like all those horrible Steven Seagal directed DVD movies. So apparently it's going to be Steven Seagal is Elijah Kane.
Oh, good.
A perfect Steven Seagal character name.
And it sounds soft, but it's weird.
Elijah Kane.
Why is he named Elijah?
I don't know. But he's going to be the head of like this undercover cop unit in Seattle, taking down the worst villains in Seattle.
Oh, it's like what The Wire and The Shield. Great.
Yes.
Again, like it depends on who's co-starring too, because it just can't be him.
I saw the dude from Alphas in Apollo 18.
Okay.
I saw him in it, and then I don't recognize anyone else.
God, I hate Apollo 18 so much.
That was a horrible movie.
God, it wasn't a movie, it was an experience.
Still not as bad as Sucker Punch, though, so.
Well, I can't imagine how bad Sucker Punch was then, because I hated Apollo 18.
Sucker Punch is like getting raped in your eyes.
But yeah, I think let me just check when that is coming out. I think it's coming out like March or something, or like spring of next year. Which I mean, I'll definitely check out the first episode to see how ridiculous it is.
No one's gonna believe like a 50-something-year-old man is like in charge of underground. Like, oh, I'm so badass. Yep. Don't mess with me.
March next year, and they're gonna do 13 episodes.
Oh boy. Not even six. Not even like a.
The only thing I hope they keep Seagal Vision going.
Like
that could be the like CSI or like how CSI like zooms in on stuff. Just like Seagal Vision of him like zooming in on criminals and like, look over there, there's a drug deal going down.
I can pierce the soul of my eyes.
I can sense drugs. Let me play some blues and we'll catch these guys.
Steven yeah. Seagal does the soundtrack and the
caterer. Oh my god, yes. There's like every scene like ends with him like came in like a blues bar. every episode of Walking Stranger, like they just like end up at like, CD's bar. It's like they end up like Steven Seagal's blues bar or something.
Do you remember that show on TNT, Memphis Blues?
Memphis Beat with Jason Lee?
Jesus Christ. That show yep. got canceled, but I remember he always ended up in an episode of like blues music and stuff.
Because he was like cop by day, blues singer by night or something.
Yep.
I remember the promo was him like he had a guitar on his back and it spun around and it like turned into like him with a gun.
Yep.
Oh, TNT, your crazy shows. So last bit of news before we get the newest roundup, we can wrap this thing up. This as usual
long tangent episode.
That's the usual when it's just me and you. But, Starship Troopers, apparently they're making a new version of it. They hired some screenwriters.
So, are they redoing, they're redoing the book, or they're just redoing an idea of it?
I don't think anyone said that, but, I mean, they had to do the book, right? Because there's no way in hell they can make anything as good as like, the original movie. Like, they can't go funny, because everyone was like, they'll say the original one is way better than it.
Well, because like the book's like depressing and stuff, like, and it's
you're like
it's gritty,
philosophizing like philosophy about war and like what it means to be a soldier and shit.
Right, and, like sacrifice and like all this other kind of like. There's like kind of like you can apply it to other things. It's like Red Badge of Honor.
Yeah, I remember there's like two or three chapters where it's just like Johnny in class, like, it was like a lecture of like he's remembering a lecture that like I think the character like Michael Ironside played in the movie, like his like history teacher or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like him like lecturing about like past wars and stuff, and like how like they like affected like society and stuff.
Which is cool if it's a war involved.
There's not a whole lot of action in the original Starship Troopers book.
And when it happens, I think Rico dies, so.
Yeah, I think so. But the one thing that the movie didn't have was that the book had, like, all the soldiers had, like, power armor.
Well, they featured that in Mirander.
In Mirander. Did they?
Well, they have power armor in Mirander.
Yeah, that was, like, one of the main things from the book that the original movie didn't have. I guess they wanted to do it, but they didn't have the budget for it, so.
Well, the first movie had so much budget, the money to do the CGI and.
Yeah, I think that was like all the budget, though.
That's true. Because the second movie was like minimum.
Like $10 million or like $20 million to like, make like power armor.
Well, that was before like CGI became really cheap to do, too.
Yeah.
So. Because they did in the third movie. The third movie was so bad, it went straight to DVD, too.
That's like, that was like sci-fi. Like, that was like a sci-fi original movie, basically.
I gotta admit, the first, I like the dark humor that was in Starship Trooper, the first movie.
Oh, God, yeah, it's amazing.
It's amazingly funny and dry.
Well, it's either, like, you think it's, like, you either think it's, like, hilarious because it's a satire, or it's hilarious because it's awesomely bad.
Yeah.
Like, either way, it works.
Let me think about it. Neil Patrick Harris is this movie.
Yup. It's like, oh, man. It's a crazy, like, Nazi scientist.
Psychic. Remember he's a psychic, he reminds?
Yeah, he, like, puts his hand on, like, the brain bug at the end, he's like, it's scared. Everyone's like, yeah!
Because think about the lineup. It's got and, like, Krugen, the Drill Sergeant Krugen.
Yeah, the Krugen, Clancy Brown, yep. Jake Busey.
Jake Busey.
Casper Van Dien.
Oh, man. Back in his prime.
Dina Meyer.
Denise Richards.
Yep. That other guy. Michael Ironside.
And Carrie Russell.
Yep.
Is it Carrie Russell?
No.
Not. She looks like Carrie Russell.
I'm thinking of Dina Meyer.
Yeah, Dina Meyer looks like her.
But, yeah. Man, Michael Ironside is the best in that movie.
Oh, man.
Where he just, like, murders the guy, and then, like they find, like, those, like, the flying bugs, and the guy gets picked up and, like, drops in the nest. Like,
and he shoots him in the chest. Yeah.
I expect everyone to do the same for me.
Don't rescue me. Don't save me. Just fucking kill me.
Yeah.
Pretty badass, though.
Mm-hmm. I think it was actually just on, like, TNT or something, or G4 or something. I just watched it.
I mean, that was, like, my first rated R movie that, like, I went on my
own. Showers. The future's weird.
It's very... This is what happens when the government takes over and everyone's just, like, okay with it, I guess.
Yeah. Well, it's supposed to be, like, a weird, like, satire about fascism.
Yeah, I can see how that works really well.
Yeah. It's also, like, all of, like, Paul Verhoeven's movies are getting, like, remade for some reason. Like, RoboCop, Total Recall, and now Starship Troopers.
I just want to keep that satire feel to it. I really hope that gets
I think they have to go, like, dark and, like, serious.
But they have to throw in some satire commercials.
They have to, because they have to differentiate themselves from the first one.
Yeah, but I like his style. No, and he's not making too many good movies.
Well, he's not doing it.
I know, but he's not doing anything else either.
No. But if they do that, then they're going to just, like, set themselves up to be, like, everyone hating it.
That's true. If they do, like, a Batman Begins kind of thing, I don't know.
Man, those commercials are so fucking great. Would you like to know more?
I just like the RoboCop one.
Good bug is a dead bug. It's just, like, the kids in the yard just stomping cockroaches, and he's just like, yeah!
There's a tiki cheering on. I always like the, I can't tell if it was, like, this one or Maraunder, but they have commercials for the really obscure things. God, I can't remember any of them. Shit.
I just love the fact that, like Buenos Aires is, like, the whitest place in the world.
And it's, like, the middle of, like, the Philippines.
Yeah. Well, it's in South America, but...
Oh, is it?
Yeah. It's just, like all... It's, like, it basically turned, like the suburbs of America just, like, spread out the entire world. And I guess it's by an asteroid.
No, it was a bug poop or something.
No, the bug shot an asteroid. Somehow, and it blew up Buenos Aires. Damn bugs, whack this, Johnny.
I have no idea how space bugs work, but whatever.
What? They can shoot lasers out of their ass. I remember that. Their planetary defense.
Well, yeah, I remember that, and, like, they can spew out lava.
Yeah. Apparently they can also shoot, like, asteroids out and hit things.
You like, know it's poop.
Like, last, no way. Like, Last Starfighter style. So anyway, I guess they're writing a script for that now, so. Who knows? We'll see how the Total Recall remake works out. I think that's going to be the first one of these, like, that's going to come out anytime soon. So, moving on, newest roundup for the week. Our pick of the week is Hangover Part 2.
Woo!
I mean, it's basically the same thing as the first one, but it's still funny, so.
If you like the first one, you're going to like the second one. If you like really dirty comedies, it's definitely one of the best.
If you want to wear Mr. Chow.
it does explain some deep, not deep, but, like, a little more characters besides being a sort of weird, eccentric Asian.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he didn't come with his bodyguards this time.
Vague criminal mastermind.
I do like he's married.
Yeah.
He's Leslie Chow, and you think he's, like,
he's gay, and he's like, yeah, I'm not really that gay. He's like, I have a wife. You're like, whoa.
What? But yeah, like, basically you can, like, replace things from the first one, but, like, there's a similar thing in this one. Like, replace tiger with monkey. Replace, like, Phil has another injury somehow.
Replace missing friend.
Yeah, with
replace
missing future brother-in-law.
Brother-in-law.
Missing tooth with face tattoo.
Replace, pocket, like, look through your pockets to look for something, receipts and stuff.
Yeah.
Or maybe
with Monk.
Yep, definitely the same thing. I gotta see if there's any bonus scenes or deleted scenes on it. I'm pretty sure there is.
Yeah, I bet there is. There's probably going to be, like, a director's cut or unrated version coming up soon.
Yeah.
Because this one doesn't say anything about being unrated, but... I'm sure it's coming.
I didn't buy the first one yet. It's definitely... It's either you can wait for, like, a double pack. I bet there might be an ultimate hangover.
Yeah, definitely. The ultimate hangover. So, also out this week is The Help.
Total opposite of The Hangover.
Yeah. Well, similar in that it was another... They're both box office, like blockbusters.
Yeah.
Like, The Help dominated the frickin', like, end of summer box office for, like, 4 weeks or 5 weeks or some crazy amount. Because, like, every old person in America went to see it, like, 3 times.
It was like a girl writing a story, and she gets advice from her, like, server.
Yeah, she basically stops racism in the South. also, Cowboys and Aliens, which one more review for that is meh.
Concept looks good. Cast is, like, all-star, but the... I guess execution was very weird because they want aliens wanted human gold for some strange reason.
Yeah. It was like, it's an okay Western and it's an okay alien movie, but then you get like it's like a mediocre alien cowboy movie.
I do appreciate that it's better than like a sci-fi original movie premise, but that's as much praise.
I don't think I put it on there, but did you actually see there's like a freaking like, I think it's like an asylum, maybe. There's like a ripoff movie that came out this week too. Remember last week, Alien Armageddon.
Nope. What's it about? Same thing.
I don't know what it's about, but there's a picture of like a cowboy with a gun standing with his back turned on the cover of it.
Oh boy.
It says Alien Armageddon, so I'm assuming it's like a horrible
ripoff.
Cowboy and Alien ripoff. Yeah.
Matt's ballsy because this is the first like. Weird concept movie that got major funding. That's just like, it's just a bizarre title and bizarre reason.
Yeah.
But it's got an all-star cast like Bond and Olivia Munn.
And it's directed by Olivia Wilde.
Olivia Wilde, yeah.
And John Favreau directed it, so.
It's got some of that Iron Man money behind it.
Yeah, I'm sure. Didn't make Iron Man money back though, so. Yeah, and I think we talked about it a couple weeks ago or a couple months ago, but the president at Universal, he was ranting about different movies. He was like
drunk.
Well, he was giving an interview and he was just like going off and like, so like Wolfman is like one of the worst movies ever made. I can't believe we made that. Like he's like, Covenant of the Aliens, they had like a great talent, but it turned out mediocre.
Like, you're president of a company that makes movies. Shouldn't you know that? Like, shouldn't you sense that halfway through a production? Like, wait, what? No, stop. Let's retool this.
Apparently not. I bet they just let John Favreau do whatever he wanted. Because he made Iron Man. So, also, we have Mr. Popper's Penguins.
Oh boy.
Also known as Jim Carrey, What Are You Doing?
Or What Not to Do to Fix a Marriage.
Get have penguins, inherit penguins.
Mm-hmm.
And turn your apartment into like a winter wonderland.
Raise your electric bill to insane levels.
Yeah. Also, we have the debt. The weird, like, spy...
Nazi hunting.
Yeah, Nazi hunting movie. Where it's, like, Sam Worthington and, was it Jessica Chastain or something in the past, and, like, Helen Mirren and Tom Wilkinson in the present.
I'm all for more Helen Mirren stuff.
Yep.
Love me some Helen Mirren.
We have Simpsons Season 14.
I love you, Simpsons, but...
Don't even ask me, like, what the hell happened, because I have no idea.
Yeah.
I haven't watched any Simpsons for, like, 5 years, probably.
You know how, like, you don't like the Simpsons, the Three Stooges trailer?
Yeah.
It's like that. That's what the Simpsons are these days, like, just weird, odd references to the pop culture, no meaning, no moral reasoning for things to happen.
I think they've literally done every storyline they've done, like, at least 5 times. Like, there's always, like, a Lisa get jealous of Bart for some reason, because, like, Bart discovers, like, he has a talent that Lisa wants or something, or, like, there's always, like, a Homer has a new job, Marge has a new job, someone moves in with the Simpsons, Sideshow Bob comes back.
You're describing a lot. I can see scenes in my head, but I can't pinpoint which episodes and when. That's how bad that is.
Yeah.
It's very, but you know what? I come to love,
like,
it.
There's like
a formula.
Well, I mean, there's like one original episode that like creates that plot and then it's awesome. And then there's like, they do like again, and it's sort of, it's like good, but not as good as the first one. It just keeps getting worse and worse. And like, it's like the fifth time.
In the last few years, the only ones I haven't seen in a while is killer theme park incidents. Like, they remember when
like it's in Scratchy Land.
Mm-hmm. They haven't done that in a while.
Yeah,
they did do one with like seals though. They had these seal pups that they invented. That's like the ultimate cute thing that old people love. But I remember there was an episode with baby dolls that did the same thing.
Hmm.
They like, they go wild and they start like killing people or
like
something.
Funzo.
Yeah. It's just like Funzo, except it doesn't talk. It's a baby seal.
He should have telescopes for eyes. No, wait. Microscopes. He should never stop dancing.
I kind of miss Homer's brother. They haven't brought him back in a long time.
Oh my god, that was like third season. I think he showed up in the second season, and they had the other episode in like the third season. That was it.
Well, there's one where, like, he's rich, and then he's poor again, and then he's rich.
Because he's rich, and then Homer makes the Homer. Like, the worst car ever, like, bankrupts his company. Then he invents the baby translator, and he becomes rich again.
And then we don't see him ever again.
Did you know the voice of him? I think he was. Anyway, Simpsons.
You love it or hate it by now.
Yeah. We also have Mr. Science Theater. We were talking about that earlier. Collection 22.
Of like singlets or something?
It's another 4-movie collection. And you get Mighty Jack, Time of the Apes, The Violent Years, and The Brute Man.
I never heard of any of these movies.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen any of those episodes.
I thought they released a complete, like, box set.
No, they've never... I don't think they've ever done, like, a season. They've done, like 4 at a time. That's all they've done.
Hmm.
Oh, so it's 2 Joels and 2 Mike episodes.
That's weird. I wonder how many episodes they have done total.
There was like 9 seasons.
And each season's about usually 26 episodes. For it to be considered a season back then in the 90s.
Well, I'd say at least 13. Like a cable season. Yeah, I'd say like between like maybe like 13 and 20 episodes a season.
And plus, you know, they didn't need a lot of money to produce.
Yeah.
All they do is buy the rights and keep a set. That's it.
Yep. They have, like, two different puppets, and that's it.
And, like, make up money. It's pretty easy to I think anyone can now could just remake Mystery Science Theater in the sense of it. Just buy old movies.
Like a public access show.
Yeah. You don't even need a plot to, like, watch these. You just can do it.
Yeah. Well, you can just record commentary.
Well, that's the new thing now.
Yeah. Let's see. What is also out this week? The Dragon Tattoo Trilogy Extended Editions are out. The original Swedish versions of the Girl with Dragon Tattoo series.
Woo! Try to cash in.
Yeah. Watch the originals before the new one comes out.
Maybe it'll be different, but it probably won't.
We also have special collector's edition of Tora, Tora, Tora on Blu-ray, which I think people consider that to be the best Pearl Harbor movie, I think, or like one of the best Pearl Harbor movies.
It's more dramatic and no love stories.
Yep. No Ben Affleck, so that's a plus. Mission Impossible gift set on Blu-ray. So all three of the previous Mission Impossible movies.
For the semi-complete collection.
Yep. The first season of Portlandia on DVD. Have you heard of that show?
Yeah, I've heard of it. It's IFC's.
Yeah.
Yep.
With a friend
of mine. I'll watch probably one or two episodes, but I haven't really got into it. I can't tell if it's making fun of it or if it is history.
Like, it's like trying to appeal to hipsters or like making fun of hipsters.
Exactly. I don't know.
And then a couple of weird, like complete, like early like 80s, 90s, like Saturday morning cartoon shows or Saturday morning shows got released. Captain Power complete series.
Yeah, the Nintendo side.
No, not Captain N. Captain Power.
Okay, then I'm lost.
Captain Power was a weird like 80s sort of like Power Rangers show. So it was live action, but you could buy toys and they would interact with the show. Because there was like a weird like they had like weird like Nintendo Zapper technology in them, like lights or like sort of like had like weird like light sensors in the toys. So you could shoot them and you get points based on like if there was like flashing targets on the screen.
So it's kind of like a really sad video game.
Yeah, it's basically like way early Wii or something, or like a Kinect or something. And actually, like the stuff on screen could shoot back, and like your toy could like eject the figure or whatever that was on it if it got hit too much.
Explode and break, yeah. And your parents buy a new one.
Yep. So that's out. And also, the complete series of Skeleton Warriors.
I think you talked about this, but I don't remember this one too well.
You don't remember Skeleton Warriors?
I bet you it's a bunch of skeletons, but that's about it.
Yeah, there was like good skeletons, evil skeletons. They were like, I don't know. I don't remember like too much about it, but it was just like, it kind of had like a cool art style. It was like really like heavy metal van sort of art. Like these skeletons.
I think I remember, but
I'll send you the intro on YouTube.
Yeah, to talk about it later.
Yeah. And then last thing came out, speaking of Mission Science Theater, Santa Claus, the insane Mexican Santa Claus movie that Mission Science Theater made fun of in one episode. Have you seen this one, Chris? Where it's Santa, and then the devil is trying to, like, stop Santa from, like, delivering presents, so he sends, like, one of his demons to, like, play pranks on him and stuff.
So it's like Kiss Saves Christmas, huh?
Kinda, I guess. It's actually become like a beloved Mexican like tradition of like watching this movie. it's like the Mexican like It's a Wonderful Life.
That's kind of sad, I think.
Yeah,
it doesn't really teach morals. It's like the devil stopping Santa Claus.
And then like Santa has like Santa has, like, this, like, crazy, like, UN of, like, children in, like, the North Pole helping him instead of elves. There's, like, a child like here representing every country.
So he's a, like, child stealer?
I guess. I don't know. Or, like, he volunteered or something. I don't know. And, like, like his base is on the moon. And it's, like, so it's, like, insane.
Sounds like something I would watch. I can see why it's a national treasure.
I think it's on, like, if you, like, go on Google Video, you can, like, watch the whole thing. So, yeah, so that is it for this, the new releases for this week. So, anything else you wanted to talk about before we wrap up for the week, Chris?
I think we talked a lot about random things today.
I think we did. So, if you want more from us, you can go to www.everythingaction.com. You can go on there and check out the Montgomery Total Recall I mentioned before earlier in the show. It's going up every Saturday. A bunch of other awesome features as well. Musical montage every Monday. Actually, this week we highlighted the Top That scene from the classic Teen Witch. It's either the greatest or worst moment in rap history, depending
on. We don't apologize for it.
No.
It had to be done.
It did. We also have an extremely extensive collection of action hero profiles, because we had a different action hero every week for Action Hero of the Week, the appropriate named feature. And a bunch of other stuff as well, so definitely head over to everythingaction.com for all sorts of different stuff every day up on there. And we're also on Facebook, facebook.com/everything.action is our Facebook page. You can like us on there. You can see news stories from our site as they go up. You can see news stories from other sites that we find that we put on there. Put links on there that if you find anything cool, put it on there on our Facebook page. And we're also on Twitter, twitter.com/EVAction, our Twitter account. You can follow us on there. You can see updates from the site. You can see retweets that we do. We like retweet a bunch of news stories or funny stuff we find. Sometimes we do live blogs and movies, but we haven't done that in a while. I think I might do that for I actually found, because I guess we talked about last week new release roundup, but Horror Express, that Christopher Lee Peter Cushing movie, is actually public domain, I guess.
Cool.
So I found it on archive.org. I'm going to watch it sometime soon, maybe. Like, maybe I think I might live tweet that one. So, yeah, definitely follow Twitter, our Twitter account at twitter.com/EVAction. And we're also on iTunes if you want to go to the iTunes Music Store and search for Everything Action. You can find the podcast on there, rate us, leave comments, subscribe to the podcast. You can also get our app on there for your iPhone or iPod Touch, and it gives you the last 20 news stories from the site. You can listen to the podcast on there too, and it's free, so definitely check that out. And you can email us at contact@everythingaction.com. So for Chris, I'm Zach, and we will see you next week.